Cars are jam-packed these days. Millions on the East Coast buried in the snow. You know that feeling? Thousands in Flint afflicted by lead-infused water. Headlines running from the poisoning of Flint to calls for resignations and arrests. Of course, there are always the prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, who come running in from tragedy to tragedy, assuring us the sky is falling. Our hearts are broken. Some missionaries murdered in an African city, while others reel from attacks in Somalia and Pakistan. Wars continue, Syria, Iran, Afghanistan. We pray for the families of the 12 Marines killed in the copter crash in California. And with mooted joy, we joy in the release of the innocents from Iran. Not so much the price. But the scariest part is our rush as citizens to arms. We now have a 500,000 people in the state of Michigan carrying permitted guns. Because folks are just plain fearful. What night do you not turn on the video of news and see the latest carjacking or home invasion? Politics and education share headlines. Major parties and candidates in disarray. Teacher sickings closing all the schools in Detroit. Abysmal conditions that have been permitted to last for years. This month we will celebrate presidents in February. We'll talk about freedom. But our faith base continues to erode. Where is God in such a time as this? Benjamin Franklin addressed the members of the Constitutional Convention. After a five-week stalemate, he said, you know, I've lived a long time, sir. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth. God governs in the affairs of men. I agree. The members of Congress today seem to have engaged in affairs, a little thought given to governing God. Jesus asked, to what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another. We played the flute for you. You did not dance. We wailed. You did not mourn. Come to me, all you who are weary. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. To what do we compare the generations? There are the boosters, GI generation, born before 1946. The busters, born between 65 and 83. The children of the busters who can't imagine the year 60. And then the MKs, the millennial kids, born after 83. Theologian Leonard Sweet suggests you can tell which generation is which by what they say no to. The boosters said, no sweat. No generation worked harder. The boomers said, no problem. No generation had more problems. The MKs say, Hakuna Matata, no worries. Lots to worry about. Perhaps that phrase, been there, done that, characterizes the time in which we live. It was a Mountain Dew commercial, and the screen was filled with frenetic action. The men were speeding down the seconds, catapulting out of airplanes, snowboards, hurtling down mountains, rollerblading up loop-to-loop stuff. But in between, there was the scene of these four guys sitting there bored. Been there, done that. The bored generation. Hunger Games, the unusual, the outrageous, the extreme. You ever read a Red Bull magazine where you read about extreme? Generations are filling themselves with UFO phobia, psychics, telepathy, ESP, witchcraft, vampires. There's a board meeting that meets and uses a Ouija board to make their decisions. The wilder the images, Transformers, the more violent the scenes, Star Wars, the more critical of culture, Michael Moore, the more outrageous the behavior, Miley the Beaver, the Kardashians, the greater and more exuberant audiences they seem to have. This generation's wisdom. They're meeting over there in Davos in Switzerland. They're telling us about the fourth industrial revolution, the Internet of Things, filled with millions of gadgets and programs, supposedly making life more easy, more fun, endless news streams numbing us to a world groaning in travail. To this generation with inherent weariness, overburdened souls, self-made notions of the next image to create, Jesus Christ offers a yoke. Take my yoke. It's crafted just for you. You no longer need to create self. We are made in the image of Jesus, yoked to Christ. No new law, a new way to see and understand, to think and to do. Albert Schweitzer said, "My life is my argument. Your life will stand for something, whether you want it to or not." And he said, "You, only you, can choose what it is." Well, the preacher of the Hebrews heard the cries of the people. We're tired of the struggle, preacher. But we know what evil is. There was a judge in New York some time ago that identified it, called it the Madoff evil, the axis of evil. When the barons of finance or industry, priests, tennis, baseball, or football players, greed, 62 families own one half of our world's wealth. Selfies, our society is infected. Today, if we experience fear, anxiety, frustration, anger, how is it we should respond? We should respond with faith. There are jobs that Christians can do and should not do. Deals that they can make and cannot make. Promotions that they will take or not take, get or will not get, because of faith. Sometimes the cost is social. You know, some families disown converts. People avoid faith, avoid people or another. The cost can be intellectual or emotional. It's far harder to figure out how to love an enemy than to figure out how to get even. My friend Sam Shoemaker, some time ago, he was an Episcopal priest. You created the Faith at Work movement. And he was asked, "Why do you continue to serve in an inner city church?" And he replied, "You know, I believe, but there's this man on a cross, and he won't let me." Faith in Christ, you see, carries a cost. One of my favorite stories is about that German preacher. And he would look out of his window as he taught those 12 elderly ladies his Bible study class. And he would see these hundreds of goose-stepping youth marching in front of the church. And there came upon him this feeling of hopelessness and helplessness. The Nazis sought to crush the cross. The culture laughed at the faithful. They were imprisoned, tortured, murdered. Sound familiar? Many died for their faith. You see, Christians can grow weary, can lose heart. Preacher, Christians tire of this struggle. And the preacher says, "Look to Jesus. Take heart. Surely all suffering is painful. Surely your spirit is challenged. Yet in this life, God's discipline is worth the pain." When was the last time you said, "My God, why me?" over something that was of good fortune? The son or the daughter called after a long time. The child brought you this handmade ceramic. You watched your children grow, graduate, marry. Why is there so much joy, so much grace? Why do I deserve such wonderful parents, such great children and grandchildren, such an education, a job, a home, a nation? What have I done to deserve this grace? Preacher says, "Be like Jesus. Love what God loves. Share in God's holiness. Mature in the image of God. Respond to this human groaning." Preacher William Sloan Coffin asked, "Where in America does God dwell?" And he answered, "God dwells with those in America who feel geographically at home and spiritually in exile. God dwells with them for going about doing good and repairing the this broken world. God dwells, I am sure, with all who wonder, reverence, and in gratitude sing a new song, seeking the end to a self-deception that tempts us all. You see, the strength that enabled Jesus to endure was the joy that was set before him, not the sitting at the right hand of God, but us, because of us, eternal life with us. You and I are called to look to Jesus, to focus upon him. He's the source of faith and joy. We pursue peace and holiness that those about us in this race of life may not fail to see the Lord. We wonder as we wander down life's path. I received a birthday card from one of you, good folk, and it said, look at the world with wonder, and you'll be surprised at all the beauty and joy to be hoped. Have a wonder-filled birthday. Wonder. Wonder to have the courage to face the suffering. Wonder to stand up for God when others would have you sit down. Wonder to discover the experience of pain is less real than the assurance of things that are hoped for. Wonder to realize there's a great cloud of witnesses that surround us with testimony. Wonder at God's word. Let your heart be strangely warmed by the Spirit moving in your life. Friends, with faith comes healing of your minds, bodies, spirits. Commit anew, yoke to Christ, being just, loving mercy, walking humbly, doing faith. Let it be so for you.